You would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelations chapter 3, the third chapter of Revelation. The third chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus sends a message or messages to three churches. The first church that he sends a message to is known as the dead church. The second church he sends a message to is known as the faithful church. And the third church that he sends a message to is known as the lukewarm church. It kind of indicates to us that you are a part of one of three churches. Either you're a part of a dead church, which means you are dead, or you're part of a faithful church, which means you are faithful, or you are a part of a lukewarm church, which means you are lukewarm. Because the church is not a building, it's not an address, it's not bylaws, it's not constructs, but the church is people. So Jesus is talking to three sets of people: dead people, faithful people, and lukewarm people. In verses 1 through 6, he's speaking to the dead church. This is what he says to the dead church in verse number 1. He says, "I know your works," or "I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Says to the dead church, you're busy, but dead. You have a good reputation, but you're dead. You may even have good programs. You're doing a lot of good things in the community, but Jesus says, you're dead. You look alive on the outside, but you are dead on the inside. Then in verse 3, he explains why he considers them dead. He tells them why they are dead and what they need to do to come back to life. Verse number 3, he says, "Go back to what you heard first and believed at first. Hold to it firmly, repent, and turn to me again." Here's the problem with the dead church. They drifted away from what they heard first. Along the way, they heard something new, and they followed something new. They drifted away from the apostles' teaching. They drifted away from the faith. They drifted away from what they heard first. And Jesus says, go back to what you heard first. Oh, there's a whole lot of new theology coming, new philosophy coming, new ways of viewing the word of God and Jesus and ourselves. And the problem is that when we drift away from the word of God, we die. The word of God is the bread of life. You only have life when you have the word. If you drift away from the word, you die. You might be busy, but you're dead. You might have a lot of wonderful programs, but you are dead. So he says, go back to what you heard first. Do that first. In verses 14 through 22, he speaks to the lukewarm church. And in verse 15, he says, "I know your works. I know all the things that you do. You are neither hot nor cold." He said, "I wish that you were one or the other. I wish you were either hot or cold." Here's the problem with the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church has, we call it back east, a nonchalant attitude. No sense of urgency. I define it as a spirit of complacency. Not excited about anything. Not eager to do anything. Nothing moves you. You've lost your passion. Verse 17 describes how they got into that position. Verse 17, he says, "You say, I am rich and have need of nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But you say, I am rich and I have need of nothing. But you don't realize that you're not rich. You are poor and wretched and miserable and naked." The problem with the lukewarm church is that wealth, financial security, had given them a false sense of security in God. The lukewarm church bought into the lie, we must be okay with God because he's blessing us. Look at our multi-million dollar facilities. Look at our $3 million homes and our $400,000 cars. Certainly, we must be blessed. Look at how many of us it is. The Lord must be blessing us. Their wealth blinded them from the fact that they were poor and wretched. Now notice something about them. Jesus doesn't say to them that they've strayed away from the teaching. No, they know the teaching. The doctrine is sound, but guess what? They just don't care. Why? Because I'm good. My kids got full scholarships. 401k is doing well. Everything that I need, I have. We've lost our sense of urgency. Where's the urgency to tell the world about Jesus? Where's the urgency to reach out to those who have never heard? Where is the urgency? So he says them in verse number 19, he says, "I correct and discipline everyone I love." He says, first of all, although you are lukewarm, here's the good news, I still love you. I wouldn't say anything to you if I didn't love you. I wouldn't discipline you if I didn't love you. He said, I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. But guess what? I still love you. And then he says, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Oh, indifference is a major problem in the church today. Indifference means you're just not interested. Indifference means you look at a situation and you don't make a determination. Well, it's neither good nor bad. Doesn't even matter to me. I'm somewhere in the neutral category. Can I tell you that the day of neutrality is over? We cannot afford to be neutral anymore. We need to decide whose side we are going to be on. The lukewarm church has lost enthusiasm. You remember how you were when you first got saved? We used to sing a song, I said I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. Now we have no problem at all keeping it to ourselves. No enthusiasm. So he tells them, turn back and be diligent. Your fire has gone out. You've lost your passion. He says, go back and be diligent. Then in verses 7 through 13, he speaks to the faithful church. And I want to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at what he says to the faithful church. In verse 8, he says, I know your works. I know the things that you do. Now, notice something here. To all three churches, he said, I know your works. But depending upon who he said it to, the sentiment is different. It feels different. When he says to the dead church, I know your works, he's saying, you look alive to everybody else, but I know your works. You are dead. Your works are dead. When he says to the lukewarm church, I know your works, it feels like this. You look prosperous to everybody else, but I know your works. I know you are poor and wretched and naked. You look one way to everybody else, but guess what? I know your works. But when he says to the faithful church, I know your works, it feels a whole lot different. It takes on a different meaning altogether. When he says to the faithful church, I know your works, he is saying others may not know your works, but I know your works. Others may not care about what you're doing, but I know your works. Others may forget, but I won't forget. I know your works. To the faithful church, it is good news that he knows our works. To the dead church, it's not good news. To the lukewarm church, it's not good news. But to the faithful church, it is good news when he says, I know your works. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards my name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do ministers. The Bible says God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your works. One of the challenges of being faithful is that sometimes you feel like nobody knows how hard you are working. Some of the problems with being faithful is that it feels like if they do know, they don't care. It was sometimes the challenge of being faithful is you ask yourself, what is the point? Why am I doing this? And can I tell you, here's why you do it. Because Jesus says, I know your works, and I will not forget. I am not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which is showed in my name. He said, how you minister to the saints, and you do minister. You did it in the past, and you're doing it right now. Some of us are celebrating yesterday's work. We haven't worked at all in a long time, but we're going back celebrating about the work we used to do. It's not about what you used to do. Faithfulness isn't about celebrating yesterday. Faithfulness is about what are you doing today, day after day after day. And he says, I know your works. Then in the second part of verse 8, he says, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. Oh, man. See, when you are faithful to God, he will open doors for you that no man can shut. Faithfulness opens doors. An open door is an opportunity. An open door is a roadway. It is access. So when you are faithful to God, he gives you opportunity and access. Listen, when you're faithful to God, you don't have to force your way into anything. You don't have to bust down no doors. You don't have to break in. You don't have to rob. You don't have to steal. If you are faithful to him, he will open the door. He said, I open the door for you. And he says, when I open the door, no man can shut it. People might not like it, but they can't shut it. They may hate you for it, but they can't shut it. They may think you don't deserve it, but they can't shut the door. They may think that door should be theirs and not yours, but guess what? They can pull on it, but they can't shut it. I want you to know that I realize that the reason I am here today is because God opened the door. Listen. Not the most qualified, not the most educated, not the most popular, but God opened the door. Don't have the biggest network or network, but guess what? God opened the door. And I want you to know that you are here today, not because you did everything the right way, but you are here today because God opened the door. And here's what I like. Then I promise you I'm going to move on. He says, I open the door that no man can shut, which tells you that when God opens the door, you should expect somebody to try to shut it. Some man is going to get in it and say no, huh? On that hiring committee, when they want to hire you, there's going to be somebody on that committee that says no and keep on saying no. But what God has for you, it is for you. No man can shut it. Then he says, for thou hast a little strength. Listen, notice this here. He says, I know your works. Because I know your works, I've opened the door for you that no man can shut. Here's what else I know about you. You only have a little bit of strength. Oh, man. Oh, man. He said, that's why he had to open the door for you, because you have a little strength. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you something this morning? That it's not up to your strength. I think I've told you before that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That the race isn't given to the swift, neither is the battle given to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. He says, I know you have a little strength, but guess what? I open the door. Fellowship Church, can I tell us something this morning? We are not the biggest, but God has opened the door. We're not the strongest, but God has opened the door. We don't have the most money, but God has opened the door. No matter how many people over the past 6 years has tried to shut the door, they have not been successful because they didn't open the door. God opened the door. And it's not because of our strength. It's because God opened the door. So can I tell you what to tell your adversary when they ask you, how did you get here? You just say to them, God opened the door. How did you make it? God opened the door. How did you get that job? God opened the door. How did you get that house? God opened the door. How are you in this facility? God opened the door. I didn't have any money, but God opened the door. All my friends walked out, but God opened the door. I got turned down for the loan, but God opened the door. And when he opens the door, no man can shut it. How did it happen? God opened the door. How did you get appointed to that committee? God opened the door. How come you haven't lost your mind? Because God opened the door. How did your kids survive? God opened the door. Why do you still have joy in spite of what you're going through? Because every time I turn around, God is opening a door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the devil's mad, but God keeps opening doors. doors I can't see, he opens the doors. And if he needs access for me to get somewhere, if there is no door, he'll create a door and open it for me. What man can curse what God has blessed? What man can shut up what God has opened? What man can kill what God has said live? He said, no, I know you have a little bit of strength, but guess what? I open the door. That's how you made it. Because I'm opened the door. So my brothers and my sisters, you don't have to fight for anything. You hear what I say? Stop fighting to open doors that God has shut. Can I not only, oh, I'm going to help you right here. We just praise God for opening the door. Can we praise him for every door he shut? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because I tried to get into places that I shouldn't have been. I tried to get access to things that weren't mine. But he shut the door and nobody can open. And then he opened one that no man can shut. He says to the faithful church, he says, I've opened a door. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, church, to walk in the door that God has opened. Now, if you had to fight your way in, if you had to kick the door down, be afraid. But if you stood there and waited for God to open the door, walk in that door without fear. He says, I opened the door for you. He says, you have little strength. You have a very little strength. You weren't strong enough to do this. You weren't strong enough to make it. But that's all right. I open the door. Then the last part of verse 8, we see two characteristics of the faithful church. He says, the last part of verse 8, he says, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Those are two elements of the faithful church. They keep his word, and they don't deny his name. You only have a little bit of strength, but you keep his word. You have a little bit of strength, but you don't deny his name. First characteristic, keep his word. The faithful church keeps his word. The faithful church is obedient to his word. No matter what the cultural trends are, the faithful church keeps his word. People come into the church and try to seduce us to do things that are not faithful to God's word. And we say, we don't care where you came from. We're going to be faithful to his word. We don't care what Dr. Phil said or Oprah said or any of the other gurus that everybody listens to. We keep his word. This whole thing, this you can keep your secrets. You can keep your mysteries. You can keep your new revelations. We are going to keep his word. That's how we're getting down. We keep his word. We keep his word when it's not popular. We keep his word when we understand. We keep his word when we don't understand. Come on. Our understanding is not required for us to keep his word. Huh? We don't have to wait until we get a special revelation to keep his word. If it's in his word, we're going to keep it. It offends us, but we're going to keep it. It hurts our feelings, but we're going to keep it. It makes us give up things that we love so much, but we're going to keep it. It costs us friends, families and foe, but we're going to keep it. Come on, somebody. It makes us the laughing stock of the community, but we're going to keep his word. Hallelujah. It makes us weird and interesting and peculiar, but we're going to keep it. We don't care, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall stand forever, so we're going to keep it. Your theology is new today. It'll be old tomorrow, but his word will be the same. Your philosophy is new today. It'll be dumb tomorrow, so we're going to keep his word. And the wisdom of the world is ignorance to God, so we're going to keep his word. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep his word. The faithful church is going to keep his word. It might cost me some friends, but I'm going to keep his word. You might get blocked on somebody's page on Facebook, but you're going to keep his word. Your friends may walk away from you, but the faithful church says, come hell or high water, we are going to keep his word. Why? Because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. His word sanctifies us. His word feeds us. His word tells us who we are and what our future is. His word is life to us. His word is everything to us. When we are hungry, his word feeds us. When we're thirsty, his word gives us water. When we are lonely, his word is our comforter. When we are weak, his word is our strength. When we are confused, his word is our peace. Guess what? We are going to keep his word. Come on, somebody. You can keep your opinion, but we're going to keep his word. If we don't do anything else in 2020, we are going to continue to keep his word. Then I stayed there a little longer than I had planned on, but somebody's been considering whether or not you should go another way and whether or not you should add the philosophy of the world to the word of God. Somebody, oh Lord, somebody, you are listening to somebody who doesn't know the word. You are taking counsel from somebody who doesn't know the world. You are following instructions from somebody who doesn't know the word. And if you continue to listen to them, you will leave the faithful church and find yourself in the dead church. Oh, and you'll be busier than you've ever been before. You'll be more productive than you've ever been before, but you will be dead because you left the word. We're going to keep his word. Then he said, here's a second characteristic. He says, and they didn't deny my name. Oh, come on, somebody. No. This faithful church doesn't deny that they know Jesus. The faithful church doesn't deny that they have a relationship with God. The faithful church doesn't deny that we believe that the Bible is the word of the living God and there is no error in his word. The faithful church believes that Jesus was born of a virgin. The faithful church believes that he was God manifested in the flesh. The faithful church believes in every miracle in the Bible, and we don't care what anybody else says. We don't deny. We believe in miracles. We believe that he walked on water, he fed 5,000, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and we won't deny it. The faithful church also will not deny that he went to the cross one day and died for our sins, but he didn't just stayed dead, but when he was dead, he went to hell and he preached freedom to the captives, and then he rose up 3 days later with all power in his hands. The faithful church won't deny that. The faithful church will not deny not only that, but he's coming again. The faithful church. Come on, somebody. The faithful church still believes in the rapture. The faithful church believes in holiness and righteousness. The faithful church believes that if we obey God, he will be good to us. And guess what? We don't deny his name in public or in private. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it's just you and me or me and 1,000. You're not going to get me to deny his name. And I don't know why you won't deny him, but here's why I won't deny him. Because when I was in the hospital and the doctor said that you'll be dead by the end of the week, there was only one name that I could call on. Come on, somebody. And that name is the reason I'm here today. There was a man in the Bible who was healed, and he was asked the question, what happened? Did Jesus do it? He said, listen, I don't know nothing about him. I don't know his history, but here's what I know. I was blind before I met him, but now I can see. Come on, somebody. I can't deny his miracles because I'm one of his miracles. Come on, somebody. I can't deny his faithfulness because I'm here because of his faithfulness. The faithful church, won't deny his name. We won't deny his name in private, and we won't deny his name in public. We're not going to have secret faith. Mm-mm-mm. We don't have this, okay, I believe, but don't tell nobody. No. We believe no matter who asks us. Put us on the stand. We'll testify. We won't deny his name. Amen. It says, you don't have a lot of strength, but you never deny my name. You don't have as much money as the lukewarm church, but you never deny my name. You don't have the same reputation as the dead church, but you don't deny my name. So he opens the door. Why? Because you keep his word and you don't deny his name. You got trouble in your life, but you're not going to deny his name. You lost a lot in 2019, but you're not going to deny his name. Come on, somebody. You went through a lot, but you're not going to deny his name. Not going to act like you don't know him. I want to share with you that we are a part of the faithful church. Come on, somebody. Now, very quickly here, I want to give you three practices that you should put in place so that you can stand firm in your faith. You got to make a decision. You got to set your life up to support your faith. Real quick, here are three things you need to practice. First of all, you have to practice surrounding yourself with people of faith. Come on, somebody. Your inner circle needs to be people of faith. Your board of directors, the group you go to make decisions for your life, needs to be people of faith. When you look through your phone and you get your Fab Five, or faith five, however it goes, they need to be people of faith. Hebrews says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You need to surround yourself with people who witness your faith, who testify of your faith, where you can look at how they live out their faith and be encouraged in your own faith. Surround yourself with people of faith. Now would be a good time to evaluate the relationships that are around you to see if these relationships are good for your faith. When I'm trying to evaluate my relationships to see if these relationships are good for my faith, there are three questions that I ask. The first question I ask is, when I spend time with this person, Do I feel strengthened in my faith or do I feel weakened in my faith? You ever talk to somebody and by the time you get finished talking to them, you are worn out and you are questioning everything. Like, I don't even know who I am, let alone who God is. I was pretty sure before I started talking to them. Now I don't know anything about anything. If that's how you feel after dealing with that person, that's not a person of faith. Here's another question I ask myself. When I speak doubt, does that person co-sign my doubt or do they respond with the word? Because listen, when all of us have rough days. All of us get weak in our faith. We don't need people close to us when we're saying, listen, I'm about ready to give up. I can't take it another day. And they say, you know what? You probably should give up and I don't blame you. If I were you, I would have given up a long time ago. I don't know how you made it thus far. I would have cursed God and died 10 years ago. Come on, somebody. That's not who you need to be around you. You need somebody around you when you get finished saying your doubt that they will say to you, but remember the last time you were in this situation, he brought you out. Remember what his word says. Remember I was there 3 years ago and look at me now. Remind me of what God has already done. Don't co-sign my doubt. Come on. Confirm God's word. Here's the last test, whether or not you should be connected to somebody. If you invite somebody to your pity party, if they show up, they are not your friend. If you sit, listen, I'm going to be miserable and sad and pitiful on Friday, and I want you to join me. If they show up to that, no. Your real friends will say, listen, I'm not coming to your pity party. I'm not going to do it. God has been too good to you, and he's been too good to me. Don't allow people to feed off of your misery. Connect with people who will shake you and say, get yourself together. Remember what God has done. So, number one, practice surrounding yourself with people of faith. Second thing is practice defending your faith. Prepare for opposition to your faith. Biblical faith has never been popular. Living life according to the Bible has never been the end thing to do. Biblical faith is always under attack. Do you know there are people in church who will attack you for living according to the Bible? There are people who come to church but have no plans on living according to the Bible, and they will sit right next to you in church and condemn you for living a life of holiness and righteousness. So prepare yourself to defend your faith. Listen, defending your faith is a skill. You must practice this defending your faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter that you ought to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that is within you. Can I tell you, the questions have not changed. Man has been asking the same question for 2,000-3,000 years. Men have been having the same doubts. The same doubts that you had. You're not the first one who questioned, how can God be good and there be evil? You're not the first one to question, how can God send people to hell? You're not the first person to question, if God is so good, why did your loved one die of cancer? You thought you came up with that question? We've been asking those questions for years. But here's the good news. We have real questions and the Bible has real answers. Come on, somebody. So prepare yourself with the answers. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not going to happen just by showing up. You got to spend time in the word. And listen, you got to study the Bible. I know it's not popular, but you got to study the Bible. Read books, but study the Bible. Come on. Books are not divine. The Bible is divine. Man's interpretation of the Bible is not divine. The Bible is divine. So study the book and be prepared to defend your faith. Listen, if you got to defend your faith to yourself, Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. Because if anybody convinces you to walk away from God, it won't be somebody from out the street. It'll be your own self. It'll be that person. Oh, I can't help you here. It'll be that person. Listen, your biggest enemy is the person who looks back at you when you're brushing your teeth. That's the person you need to worry about. That's the person you need to convince. That's the person who's going to oppose your faith more than anybody else. I know they say if you talk to yourself, you are crazy. I say if you don't talk to yourself, you're crazy. I talk to myself on a daily basis. I talk to myself this morning. I looked in the mirror. I said, Tim, I don't care how you feel. You better get up out this house and go do what God told you to do. I don't care about what happened yesterday. God is faithful. Come on, somebody. You got to talk to yourself. I'm over my time here. So prepare to defend your faith. And here's the last thing, and I'll make it quick here. Practice thinking about the promise of heaven. If we're going to stand firm in our faith, we need to remind ourselves of the promise of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. To stand firm in your faith, you must remember that this is not all we get. Come on, somebody. You got to remind yourself that your experience here on earth is not all we get. Our hope is not limited to what happens here. Come on, somebody. Our hope in Christ is not limited just to this life. Our hope and expectation is that if things never work out down here, this is not all we get. Come on, somebody. If I never get healed, if I'm never brought out, if things stay the same, my faith is not in my present circumstance, but my faith is in my future, and my destiny is to spend eternity with Christ. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble, but don't worry. I've overcome this world. Come on, somebody. You got to remind yourself that heaven is still the hope of the church. Come on. We used to sing a song that I got heaven in my view, but the problem is we have too many people who have crept into the church and have convinced us that God wants us to live our best life, and prosperity is a sign that God is with us and has blessed us. And if God wants you blessed, then you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now. But somewhere along the line, we took our attention off of heaven and we start looking at earthly things. But the faithful church keeps their eyes towards heaven, knowing that in this life, I will have trouble, but this is not the only life I get. Christ said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The faithful church knows, even if I die, I still win. There is no losing. I gotta go. Stand to your feet, please. Surround yourself with people of faith. Prepare to defend your faith. And remember the promise of heaven. That's how we remain faithful. We are a part of the faithful church. We're going to keep God's word. We're not going to deny his name. Part of our responsibilities as members of the faithful church is to pray for each other. I said part of our responsibility as the faithful church is to pray for each other. It's a big responsibility that we have. And Jesus teaches us how to pray for each other. In Luke chapter 22, Verse 32, Jesus says to Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Before that, he said, Peter, listen, Satan been talking about you. He asked about you. He asked if he could sift you like wheat, like he can shake you up, try to destroy you. Jesus didn't pray that Satan wouldn't get a hold of him and shake him. Jesus prayed that after the shaking, that his faith would still be standing. Come on, somebody. I don't know what 2020 has in store for us. But I know this. My prayer is that whatever happens in 2020, when it's all over, you will still be standing in your faith. Hallelujah. That your faith won't fail you. Then in John chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shall keep them from the evil. He said, listen, Lord, I'm not going to pray because that's what some of us want. Lord, just take us out of this situation. Jesus says, that's not what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray that, God, you would keep them from evil. Come on. Yeah. So that's what we're going to pray for us this year, that God would keep us. In this evil world, that he will keep us. He may not take us out of these situations, but he has the power to keep us from the evil as we go through these situations. So my prayer is that your faith won't fail and that God will keep you from evil. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. We are the faithful church. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today because you are faithful to us. Great is thy faithfulness unto us. We have so much to thank you for, God. So much to thank you for. We take this time, God, to tell you thank you. Thank you for every way that you made out of no way. Thank you for every time we called on your name and you answered us. Thank you for every mountain that you brought us over, every trial that you brought us through. God, we thank you that you have been faithful to us. And God, we thank you that you know our works. Down through the years, you've seen our labor of love. You know our sacrifice. You know what we have given. You know how we have demonstrated to you your love in the most difficult circumstances. You know our works. Purge us, God, in the name of Jesus, that we not be a part of the dead church where we're busy but dead, God. Help us to go back to what we heard first. If we picked up anything new, God, help us to put it down and pick up what we heard first. Deliver us from the spirit of complacency, that we have anchored ourselves in indifference because we're good. Our needs are met. We lack nothing. And so we have no enthusiasm and our fire has gone out. Set us on fire again. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Set us on fire again, Lord. Set us on fire again, God. That we will be hot. So hot that every place that we go changes because we're there. So hot that the atmosphere shifts when we walk in the room. So hot that when people see us, they don't see us, they see you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. know our works. And God, we thank you that you've opened the door for us. If it was up to us, we wouldn't even be here, but you opened the door for us. If it depended on us, we would not have made it, but you opened the door for us, God. We thank you that you opened the door. And we thank you that everyone who tried to shut the door that you opened, it failed. God, we thank you that you weakened their hand, that they were not able to shut the door that you opened for us. And we pray, God, that we will remain faithful to your word. Faithful to your word. And we won't deny your name in public or in private. Because your word says that if we are ashamed of you before men, then you will be ashamed of us before your Father. And God, we don't want you to be ashamed of us, God. No. We want you to put us on display and brag about us like you did Job. We want you to have a good testimony towards us, that some of us went through the fire, some of us went through the flood, but we kept your word and we didn't deny your name. Hallelujah. We want you to have a good testimony concerning us. Hallelujah. That our record is in heaven. God, as we go through this time of fasting, help us to take an inventory of our lives and see where we are in you. Let us not be blinded by our comfort, but let us know the reality of who we are and where we are so that we can get to the place where we will hear your word, know your word, and live according to your word, no matter how the culture changes, no matter what the world thinks of us. Help us to be faithful to your word. We evaluate our relationships, prepare us to defend our faith, and help us to focus on the promise of heaven, that this world is not our home. Hallelujah. That this is not all for us, but you have prepared a place for us so that where you are, we will be also. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Very quickly, I know we're over our time, but can we just lift our hands to Jesus? It's a sign of surrender. It's saying, Lord, I want to be a part of the faithful church. I want to be a part of the church that you can be proud of. I want to be a part of the church that you're not ashamed of. Oh, yeah, I want to be a part of the church that doesn't deny your name, the church that keeps your word. That's the church that I want to be a part of.